Hi, everybody. Hi, welcome to Core Life Spiritual Weather Report. It's November 14th, 2021, and this is Brad, and I'm here in the United States, and my beloved Leslie is in South Africa. And I want to welcome all of you, especially those of you who are new to Core Life. Also welcome to everybody who's been here a while, all the longtime Core Lighters. But I realize that we have a lot of new people today. It's because many of you found out about Core Light recently from the course that I co-taught with our friend Anna Breitenbach, which was called For the Love of Animals. And so I want to thank you, all of you who participated in that course. And it was a great turnout and a wonderful group of beautiful, loving people from all around the world. We had so much fun, and I was amazed at the power of the field of love that we generated. And it's still happening. You can still feel it. And so I guess I also wanted to talk with you all a little bit today about creating a field of love with you on this call today, including everybody who's listening in the future. If you've been attending these calls for any length of time, you know we always talk about that there's no time and space at a metaphysical level. We're all participating together, even if it's not in linear time. And so I think one of the most important things we can all be doing right now is creating these fields of love and holding them with each other. We're in a time where there's such a lack of love in the world. And our love is needed. It's needed now more than ever. And I want to talk about that on the call today. So I'm just putting it out to you, asking you if you can feel it. Can you feel the field of love that we're creating? And I'm not asking you to do it right this moment. It will build as we go on with our call. But it's a practice. So see if you can feel it. See if you can feel it as we go on. Feel your heart and feel the other's heart. And if you can't, it's okay. You'll still receive the love at some level of your being. And you can just set the intention that you'd like to feel it, and it'll happen one day. And there's so much support right now. The inner planes are supporting this kind of work in a very powerful way. The spiritual guides really want us to be generating these fields of love. And in groups like this, we can. And in fact, it's very powerful when we gather like this and do it. But there are usually several hundred people from around the world who participate in these monthly Spiritual Weather Report calls. And not everybody live on the call today, because a lot of people listen to the recording later, but we can all do this together, whether you're here with us live or in the future. So for everybody who's new to the calls, welcome again. And I can share with you just a little bit about how the calls work. We begin with a guided meditation, and then I'll speak about the energies that are affecting us, the prevailing energies, and also about the spiritual principles that are most helpful for us right now. And then we have time for questions and answers, and we close the session with a very brief guided meditation or a prayer or whatever we have time for. And if you need to leave before the call ends, you can always listen to the recording later. We do send out the link to our email list, and it's also posted on YouTube. And let's see if there's anything more to share before we begin. I wanted to tell you some of the topics we're going to talk about today. The first topic that came to me to discuss is living fearlessly leads to joy. The next topic is grieving well leads to joy. And the next topic is remembering the future is bright, even though it doesn't seem like it right now. And lastly, letting go of the need to know and learning to follow the heart. And then also at the end, I want to do an exercise with you. It's something that we can all do for home practice which I'll share with you at the end of the call, and it's called Grounding on the Core. All right. So without further ado, let's go ahead and begin. And we're going to start with our guided meditation. So I invite you to get comfortable and relax. I know a lot of people have to multitask while you listen to these calls, but this is the time to actually just stop if you can. And of course, not if you're driving. Stop and close your eyes and get comfortable and just give yourself these few moments to really relax and drop in and just go yin or go receptive. So I invite you to take some long, slow, deep breaths. Long, slow inhales. Long, slow exhales. Breathing in the light and the life force that surrounds you. Breathing out any tension that your body might be holding on to. Breathing in love. And breathing out any constrictions in the muscles. Breathing in peace and relaxation. And breathing out any worries about the past or the future. Just being right here, right now, giving yourself the gift of this present moment. Your own spiritual journey, it's the number one priority right now. It's just for you. So just relax and let go and breathe. Continue your breathing as I talk, please. And as you probably know, if you've been attending these calls for any length of time, you know that Leslie overlights these calls from the foot of the Sacred Mountain in South Africa, where we live. And there's a transmission of healing energy that comes through these calls. So we invite you to receive it. And we invite you to receive it not only during this meditation, but throughout the call, even while we're talking. And as I said before, whether you're with us live today or listening to the recording, it doesn't matter. We're all part of the field. And we're all connected. Time and space don't really exist except in the 3D, the third dimension. So we invite everybody to tune in to these other levels of reality beyond time and space, where we're all connected in the unity and in the heart and in love. It's a beautiful place. And we all receive the transmission of light that comes through during the call, whether you feel it or not, it's still happening. This is a field that we all participate in together. Whether you're with us live or later, doesn't matter. And nobody is doing anything to you. This is just a field of love that we're all creating. It's healing energy, and you can choose to receive it if you wish to. You just set the intention that you'd like to receive it, and it will happen. Even if you don't feel it, it's still happening. So breathing long and slow and deep, and just relaxing, just letting go. So let's do a muscular relaxation from head to toes, as we always do. Just feel, visualize warm liquid like honey pouring over the top of your head, relaxing all of the muscles that it touches. Relaxing your scalp and your forehead. Eyebrows pouring over your eyes. Just relaxing your eyes so much that they fall right back into their sockets. Pouring over your temples and your whole head, the back of the head, the ears, the nose, the cheeks, the mouth, the jaw. Taking a few moments to just feel the back of your tongue release and let go, which relaxes the whole region of the jaw and the back of the head and the neck, the shoulders. Just feeling this warm honey pouring over your shoulders and down your arms, just relaxing all the muscles, all the way down to the hands and the fingers. And pouring over your chest and your upper back, deeply relaxing the chest and back, pouring down over your abdomen, relaxing the solar plexus and the lower back, stomach area, all the way down the hips, relaxing your hips, your pelvis, your whole pelvic region. Pouring over your legs, relaxing your upper legs and lower legs, feet and toes. So I'll be quiet now for a few moments while we all do that again. Let's just scan the body again from head to toes. Breathing light and relaxation into any areas where you're still holding on to tension. Breathing out the tension, breathing in light and warmth and relaxation. And let's put our attention now on the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine. And it's okay if you don't know the chakras, that's all right. If you're new to this, you can just visualize or feel the base of the spine. And really, just by putting our attention there, that region relaxes and the root chakra will naturally open. And so if you're sensitive, you can feel that happen. And if you're new to this or you're not able to feel it for any reason, it doesn't matter. It's still happening. And you can just set the intention that you would like to be able to feel it one day. And for now, you can just visualize. So we're opening the root chakra. And this is nothing that you have to do. This is not a forcing. This is just a relaxing and an allowing and a letting go. It's very easy, actually. So we put our attention there on the root and we allow it to open. And let's drop our grounding cord down into the center of the earth and see your grounding cord connecting with the core of the earth. And feel gravity gently pulling you down towards the earth, helping you to relax and let go. And feel how we're supported from beneath by Mother Earth in the form of the floor or the chair. And just feel yourself relaxing and letting go into the embrace of Mother Earth, like a little baby relaxing into its mother's arms. just letting go, feeling completely safe and held and nurtured and warm, peaceful. And let's draw the earth energy up through the soles of the feet, up the legs, up the core of our body. And let's feel and visualize the core of our body, which in Sanskrit is called the Sushumna. It's a luminous tube of light, bright white light that sits right in front of the spine. And let's draw our energy all the way up this core of light within us. It's our core of enlightenment that we all have within us. We draw the earth energy up, all the way up to the top of the head, where the crown chakra resides. And let's open the crown. And again, if you are new to this, it doesn't matter. You can just set the intention that you'd like to feel this one day. And you might be feeling it already. The crown chakra sits on top of the head like a crown that a king or a queen would wear. And let's allow it to open up. It's known as the thousand-petaled lotus. So you can feel it, visualize it, unfurling its thousand petals on top of your head, opening up and out. Beautiful feeling. This is our connection to the cosmic energies. So let's send our core energy, our Sushumna, out the top of the head, out into formless space. And feel it connecting with a star, or a spiral galaxy, or the sun, or a group of angelic beings, or some source of universal energy and love that you can feel, that you know is your source of love and universal energy in the cosmic realms. And then draw that energy back down into your body. Feel it pouring down over you like a gentle golden rain pouring down over your body, like a warm, gentle rain relaxing your whole body inside and out, filling up your aura with beautiful golden white light and love, healing energy. Filling up your body. Feel it filling up your body from head to toes. Every cell of your body absorbing the light like a little sponge. Trillions of little sponges inside your body absorbing this golden white light and love. Filling you up so much that it flows down your arms, filling up your hands and fingers so much that the light shoots out your fingertips, flowing down your legs, filling up your legs and feet and toes so much that the light begins to shoot out the tips of your toes. Now I invite you to continue your breathing and relax while you feel both energies simultaneously. Feel the earth energy coming up from below, the Mother Earth energy filling you up, the beautiful grounding, anchoring feeling of safety, nurturing. And at the same time, Feel the cosmic energies from above, from Father Sky, pouring down, filling you up from above. Just allow yourself to fill up from both directions, and as you fill up and relax even more deeply with every breath, I'm just going to say a brief prayer and an introduction, invocation for our session today. We call on the Great Spirit, the Divine Mother, the Father God, the Self that we all are. We invite in all the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. We invite you into our sacred circle today, all these many hearts connected all over the world. We ask that you please surround us in a cocoon of beautiful golden white light and love and healing energy, wrapping us up, filling us up. We ask that you please guide our conversation today into the highest love and the highest wisdom. Help us all to receive that which we need to fulfill our soul's highest purpose in this life. Please hold our hands as we walk forward into the world today, into our soul's highest purpose. And we give deep thanks. We're so grateful for the love and support we receive. We're so grateful for the time that we get to share with each other. Grateful for these beautiful human bodies that we get to wear for a few years on loan to us from Mother Earth. And we're grateful for this beautiful, beautiful planet that we get to live on, this virtual reality planet that's so beautiful, so full of wonder and life. Fragile blue planet that we get to inhabit. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I invite you to slowly bring your awareness back into your body, and if you want to, you can slowly begin to wiggle your fingers and toes. And if you want to, you can open your eyes. You don't have to. You can just stay in meditation if you want while I talk. But I know most people need to multitask, and that's just fine. We're happy to have all of you here, no matter what you need to do. And I wanted to start by sharing an experience that I had this morning with you in meditation. It was such a beautiful experience. I'm here in Florida, and the weather's still quite beautiful. So I was sitting outside on the lanai meditating pre-dawn and just feeling the breeze. And I was so deeply peaceful, meditating on my breath. And I'm surrounded by nature here. There are lots of trees around me and lots of wildlife. And I was so much at peace in the silence. And then suddenly this giant flock of starlings filled the tree right next to me. And they were squawking and yelling. And it was this cacophony of noise. And I thought, oh, well, this is very distracting. I don't know if I can meditate with this noise going on. You know, it was pulling my attention away from my meditating on the breath. And so I just, you know, that was just a thought for a flash. And I gently moved my attention to the starlings, and I just listened to them. And I decided to just merge with them and tune into them. And the experience of the starlings that I had was extraordinary. They were so joyful. They were squawking and yelling, and the message that they were giving was sort of like, I mean, it's hard to translate, but it was sort of like, we're here now, and the sun is rising, and it's beautiful, and isn't this wonderful? Feel this moment. Here we are. And so I got this gestalt from the starlings that were surrounding me in the tree of joy. And their cacophony, you know, to my monastic side was not meditative at all, but when I tuned in on it, it was such a great lesson. You know, it was a great opportunity to just be here right now, to just be in the present moment, enjoying what's happening right now, the gift of this present moment that we have. And it's actually all we have is this present moment. So, you know, this lesson that we get from the natural world is such a blessing. And I came out of that meditation so joyful, thanks to the starling. So it was perfect for today, because I really, like I said before, I wanted to talk to you about joy today. The first, when I meditated on the different topics to touch on today, the first one was living fearlessly leads to joy. And so I wanted to say that, you know, we come here to this planet to live a big and fulfilling life and to experience joy from our job to our relationships, to our finances, to our body, in every way imaginable. We come here to grow and learn and have these experiences, and above all, to experience joy. Because the metaphysical truth is that joy is the highest fulfillment of the spiritual path. And we're not usually taught that. So that's why I wanted to, you know, sort of double click on that today and discuss it with you. And if you're a person who's already living this kind of life where you feel inspired by the adventure of life and you feel connected with the natural world and you're living mostly in joy, then you're blessed. You are very, very blessed. You're one of the rare few who are having this experience right now. And so if that's you, just consider yourself very blessed and feel grateful, immensely grateful. And if you're thinking, as I can feel a lot of people probably are, well, I hardly ever feel joy. How can this guy be talking about living in joy when there's so much destruction and so many terrible things happening on the earth right now? And, you know, maybe if that's you, you know, you might not even want to feel joy. And maybe you just want to feel sad and grieve for the world. And if that's the case, it's okay. You need to feel what you need to feel, and there's nothing wrong with it. And I'm not suggesting that you try to suppress your feelings in order to force joy upon yourself. That's not what this is about. You need to give the heart its due, and we all need to allow the heart to express itself. And grieving is really important, and we're going to talk about that today. So I'm not talking about forcing joy on anybody. That doesn't work. And if you don't want to feel it or you can't feel it, that's okay. You don't, you know, you can't hit anybody over the head with joy. But I think most people fall somewhere in between those two situations that I just described. We want to live a big life. We want to live a fulfilling and joyful life. But we're also going down, at least some of the time, we're going down into feeling the sadness and the grief and the anger and the worry and all of the more challenging, let's say, lower vibratory emotions. And that's normal. That's just completely natural. There's nothing wrong with it. And it's just good to recognize that that's where you are and just to be okay with that. And, you know, if you need to spend some time in those emotions for a little while, maybe a few hours or even a few days, then allow yourself to feel whatever it is and allow it to pass through you and then move on. But if you're finding yourself living in those states for long stretches at a time, or even if they're constant for you, then it's really important to recognize that you're a bit stuck at the moment. It's important to realize that we're not meant to wallow in the negativity all the time. These physical bodies we wear are just, they're not built for that. We didn't come here, we didn't incarnate for that. We came here to experience joy. And so, let me just say that again. We came here to experience joy, peace, freedom. We came to experience living with an open heart. You know, it's important to remember all of these things. And as I said before, we're not taught that. So it's really good to remind ourselves of this from time to time. And the more that you learn to live a joyful and fulfilling life, the more you become a person that people look up to. You become somebody people admire. People want to start spending time with you, and they want to learn from you. And you've learned about letting go of fear and worry, and you've learned to choose love and to focus on love and to keep your heart open as much as you can, even in challenging situations. And you're somebody who lives with a sense of gratitude for all the things you're given in life, even the small things, especially the small things. You're somebody who is not affected much by the dance of the polarities, the constant flip-flopping of positive and negative. You take praise or blame with an even mind. You're not, let's say, influenced by others' opinions heavily. You can handle success, apparent success, or so-called failure with a sense of inner peace, no matter what it may look like on the outside. And you've learned to live in what we call the neutral observer, allowing life to happen around you without judgment. And you feel unattached to the ebbs and the flows of life. And you practice this non-attachment, but it doesn't mean indifference. It doesn't mean numbing out. You're passionate about life. You learned to live fearlessly. You've learned to express your own uniqueness in the world and be fully you. And you experience anger from time to time, but it's slow coming on, and you're quick to forgive. And so I could go on, but let me just pause there for a moment and ask you a question. Where are you right now with all of this, hearing me talk about this? How much are you living your life this way? So just reflect on that for a moment. Because this is our birthright. This is what we come here for. This is who we are. We came here to live this kind of life, and it's possible to live it, to have a big and fulfilling life, and to live fearlessly. And it's learning this, it's learning to live fearlessly that leads us to living joyfully. Because fear and joy are opposites. You can have one or the other, but you can't have both. And so, and I include worry in that equation. So worry is just a small fear. So if you're a worrier, then you're not going to be experiencing much joy. And I speak from experience. I was a class A worrier. Warrior. I've been a warrior too, but we're talking about worrying here. And so I'm a recovering worrier. So if you're in that boat, I'm with you. And it's a really good time right now to practice living fearlessly, letting go of worry, And I know that that may seem impossible because it does feel like such a dark time. And again, we'll talk more about that today. But the truth is that we can live in joy most of the time. Even in challenging times, we can do it. The key is learning to witness the fears and the worries, and we learn to name them, and we learn to take a look at them, and then we can let them go. So I know most people, at least probably everybody on this call, but most people that I know dream of living this way. We all really want to live this way, but it's not always possible because of the challenges we face. And so, I mean, the time that we're living in is so full of challenges, more than ever before, it seems. So it's important to acknowledge that. But I guess I know that there are plenty of people on the planet who are not even aware that it's possible to live this way. But if you're listening to this, and I'm sure you're aware that it's not only possible, but you're already learning how to live this way, and you're living this way to the extent that you're able to, and you've probably set some kind of conscious intention that you'd like to live this way. And if you haven't set that intention yet, I invite you to do that right now, to just put it out to the universe in a prayer that you want to live this way. You want to live a big life, a fulfilling life, and you want to live fearlessly, free of worry. You want to live in joy. So you put it out to the universe that you want to know how to bring more of these qualities into your life. And it all begins with the intention. So if you're really sincere and you're really passionate about your intention and you repeat it, it's going to manifest one day. And it's important to remember that this, I'm talking about this, but it's not supposed to be an opportunity to judge yourself for not being able to live fully that way. I'm not talking about this so we can start comparing and, you know, judging where we're not measuring up to some kind of ideal. That's not what this is about. It's all about being okay with where we are and recognizing that we're all here on planet Earth to learn and evolve and grow into these amazing beings. Like I said, it's our birthright to have that. So if you're experiencing a lot of negativity right now, you're not alone. So many people are feeling depressed or pessimistic or fearful about life right now. And there, like I said, there's especially a lot of fear and worry at the moment, and it's okay if that's where you are. Many of us personally, and all of us as a collective, we're in this massive time of transition, and it's just bringing this stuff up to the surface. So you're in good company if that's happening to you. It's not anything you need to judge yourself about. But as I said, it's important to recognize if this is where you are and name it and witness it and do what you need to do to release it and let it go and then move on. I feel like I should close out on this topic. I have a few other topics I want to talk to you about, and I want to make sure we have enough time today. But it reminds me, before I close out on that, it reminds me that I wanted to mention that I'm in the process of editing some videos, the videos of the course that I taught last year in 2020, The New Paradigm of the Heart. Transcending Victim Tyrant Consciousness is the name of the course. And there are a lot of really good fear clearing techniques in that course. And some of them are totally new to the work we've offered at CoreLight for the past 30 years. So I'm really excited that we're going to make that course available in a new pre-recorded format sometime in 2022. So if you feel you need some powerful fear clearing techniques, you might want to be on the lookout for that when we announce it, and I'll be letting you know by email when that happens. But just to close out on this topic, fear is one of the main things that keeps us trapped in victim consciousness. Fear is one of the hallmarks of victim consciousness. And victim consciousness is the main process that's holding the entire planet back in the third dimension. So when we transcend victim tyrant consciousness, that's when we enter this, what we're calling the new paradigm of the heart. And that's the state that I've been describing today. I just wanted to name some of its qualities to help remind you, give you a little taste of it. It's a state of learning to keep the heart open no matter what the outer circumstances are, even challenges. And that's a journey. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not something we can just jump into suddenly. That's a path that we're on. And, you know, I honor anybody who chooses to walk that path. We're all holding hands as we walk that path together. So the next topic I wanted to talk to you about is grieving well leads to joy. So as we've been talking about, I think we can all agree that the world is in a very challenging time right now. And because changes are coming more intensely all the time, faster and faster all the time, the acceleration, the quickening, as it's called, we're all being challenged all the time to try to live this joyful life, this fulfilling, full life that is our birthright. It's very challenging. So I know some people are going through some of the biggest challenges of their lives right now. Many people I know facing enormous life-changing decisions, and quite a few people with physical manifestations like illness or accidents. Or I know people who feel very disillusioned with how the world is going right now. Some people are really seriously depressed. And if you're in that category, if you're having a really challenging time right now, I just want to let you know that I feel a lot of empathy for you. It's completely understandable that anybody would feel that way. And you have my compassion. And I think it's important to name that one of the main experiences that we're all having right now is that we're grieving. If you are one of the rare people that I just described who are living mostly in joy all the time and holding a high vibration most of the time, even you, you know, we're all going through a grieving process. We're grieving the loss of the world as we used to know it. The old earth, the old way of life, all the old things we knew, the systems, they're all dissolving. Everything we knew is dying and reforming into something entirely different, and we barely recognize the way life used to look. So I'm reminded of the image of the caterpillar. The caterpillar has to enter what's called the pupa state before it can become a butterfly. And when it's in that state, it turns to liquid inside the cocoon. It completely dissolves and liquefies before it can reform. But when it reforms, then it becomes something completely new, totally new and different. And we've spoken about this a few times in past spiritual weather reports. But I think it's important to just remind ourselves of this again. And so let's just talk about grief a little bit. There are many, many aspects to grief. It's like a soup. It's like a soup of emotion. And we experience different parts of it at different times. So we may not necessarily be able to identify that we're experiencing a grieving process. You know, we may just be focused on one aspect, and so we may not identify it as part of grieving. But let's remind ourselves of the five stages of grief as they were identified by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in her book on death and dying somewhere back in the 60s or 70s. So the five stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Sometimes we can identify that we're going through, that linear progression of those states, but it's not necessarily linear. Sometimes we jump around between the states. We go anger to depression and then back to denial and off to acceptance and so on. And so I know a lot of people who are experiencing this right now. Many are losing friends and family because of the polarizations and the arguments that are happening right now. And there's even, we've all experienced death, quite a bit of death happening around the planet the past couple of years. And in many ways, there's the death of the old way of life, but also many people have physically died as well. So it's a good time right now to do a little self-evaluation and take a look at where you might be in the grieving process. If we can recognize that we're in a grieving process and that we're witnessing a death losing the old way of life on Earth, and it becomes a lot easier to cope with all of the challenges, the emotions, and the experiences that we're going through. So I invite you to take some time with this. Just pause and take a little time to name where you are in the grieving process. So let's name the five steps again, the five stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And if this process might be new to you, all we're doing here is simply naming the feelings. We're giving ourselves permission to feel the feelings as much as we need to, letting the heart have its due, allowing that to be okay. And then, when it's complete, we let the emotions go and we move back into the heart. It's a very simple, it sounds simple, it's easier said than done, but that's the simple process, so simple in quotes. So wherever you find yourself on that spectrum, whether you're living in fear or worry a lot of the time, or grieving a lot of the time, or whether you're living in joy and fearlessness a lot of the time, I guess I just want to thank you. I feel like I just want to thank you for showing up. We've been doing this. We've been doing this for a long time, many of us. And some of you are new to Core Light. I don't know you, but I know many of you have been on a path of some kind of consciousness, path of consciousness for a long time. And even if you're new, you've been on a path to get to this point. So I want to thank you for showing up. Thank you for contributing your love. Thank you for contributing your light, all that you contribute, to the field that we're creating today and to the planet in general. We're all doing what we can. And, there's no good or bad or right or wrong to this. If you're listening to this call, then you're showing up at some level of your being and you're bringing your light to the planet, no matter what your mental emotional state is at the moment. We're creatures that fluctuate, and doesn't matter where you are, is what I'm saying. You're bringing your attention, your energy, your love, your light to the equation, and that's really important to remember. And I guess I just want to say, let's also remember that even though things look the way they do, there's nothing wrong right now. At one level of consciousness, there's a perfection to what's happening on the planet right now. Even though it may look terrible and it may feel awful, and I realize, I need to pause, I realize some of you may be upset by hearing me say that, and you might be thinking, well, how How can he possibly be saying there's nothing wrong? How can what's happening be perfect? And, you know, just have to look at all the terrible things in the world to wonder that. And it's true that at one level, the picture does look very dark and depressing and so on. But it's important to remember that many of us, many of us have prayed for this. You know, we've prayed for an end to the patriarchal system. We've prayed for an end to the system of separation, the system that's been destroying the natural world, and has perpetrated wars and enslaved humanity and so on and so on. And we've prayed for an end to all of this, and that's what's happening. That system is busy destroying itself. It's falling apart. It's important to remember that this dissolving that we're experiencing is what we've prayed for. So the grief that we might be experiencing right now is the loss of the old system, the loss of an old way of life and the old earth and the old way of living. But even though a big part of us is happy to see it go, there's another part of us that's grieving its loss because it was what we knew, you know? It was familiar. We loved it in its way. And even if it was dysfunctional, even if it was unfair and oppressive in so many ways and so forth, it kept us alive. It gave us the experiences that we needed. It gave us food and shelter, and we found beauty in the ways that we could. So I think it's really important to remember we're grieving the loss of all that we've known up until now. And it's important to allow ourselves that time to grieve. We need that. And at the same time, I think it's also really important to remember that on the other side of the grief is the joy. The deeper we allow ourselves to feel the grief, the higher we can go into the joy. And that's a very well-known principle that's taught by people who practice grieving rituals. There are African grieving rituals, and I remember one example that I've shared with you before. So for some of you, this will be a reminder, but there was an old African woman who was at one of these grieving rituals. You know, somebody had died, I believe, and a witness to it saw this woman was so full of joy. And they went up to her and said, how is it with all this grief that everybody is expressing, how can you be in so much joy? And she paused and pondered it for a moment, and she said, I think I can be in a great state of joy because I've grieved so much. I love that story. So it makes me feel it in my chest. So we don't resist the grief. We feel it. We allow it. We let our heart have its due. We grieve as much as we need to. We let it all come pouring out. And then when we're ready, we let ourselves move beyond it and into the joy. And we practice feeling that joy as much as we can, even if it's very small. We practice feeling joy and appreciation for all the little things of life, you know. The beauty of a little flower, the fragrance, the exquisite fragrance, the unconditional love that we receive from our pets, the beauty and the peace that we feel at sunset, and the touch by somebody who loves us. Lately I like to dance around my apartment singing songs. So we do whatever we need to do in order to bring more joy into our lives. It's one of the most important practices we can all be doing right now. Excuse me. It is a great counterbalance to all of the negativity and the darkness in the world. Okay. The next topic I wanted to share with you is remember the future is bright, even though it doesn't seem like it right now. So I wanted to touch on so-called doom and gloom and the chaotic energy that we're experiencing at the moment. There's a lot of doom and gloom scenarios and really dark predictions of the future out there right now. And it is so important not to get sucked into the fear of the future around all of this stuff. When we hear about that stuff, or maybe we even go researching into it, it can rub off on us. And it's pretty intense. It's a deep, dark field of energy. And if we let it rub off on us, then we're actually helping to manifest the very thing that we fear. So if there are people telling you about doom and gloom scenarios, or you're searching the media to try to find out what the heck's going on, just be strong in your witness. You know, make sure you're really strong in that witness self. And if you're brand new, if you don't know what the witness is, my spouse Leslie and I describe it in our book, The Marriage of Spirit. The witness is simply what you could call the neutral observer, or a gentle observer. It's the part of you that's aware of what you're feeling. It's watching you move through the world and act and react. And that part of you is actually neutral. So without going into, we talk about it often on these calls, so I'm not going to go into details about it right now. But if you're interested in it, you don't know about it, you can get our book, The Marriage of Spirit. And it's one of the most important tools that one can ever take with on the spiritual journey, is the witnessing practice. Highly recommended. So if you, if you find yourself feeling that doom and gloom and the fear of the future, it's important to witness it, to feel it, and let it go. Don't hang on to that stuff for days at a time, or weeks at a time, or what. Some, I know some people who are really affected by it deeply and they hang on to it. So I think, like we've said before, you know, it's important to remember that we're not actually meant to do that. Our bodies, these physical bodies that we're wearing, are not designed to sustain long-term negativity and fear. Fear was intended as a short burst of energy to release adrenaline so we could escape a situation that was threatening us. It's not meant to be held on to long term. It really affects the body in a negative way. So very important to move on from negativity and low vibrations, especially fear. And remember, it's not necessary, because the future is bright. We're going through this dark time and it doesn't look good at all. But, the spiritual guides have been telling us for a long time that we're going to be okay. Humanity makes it through this time, and not without challenges. But, we can mitigate challenges by letting go of fear and shifting our focus away from the doom and gloom into the higher vibratory qualities, like the joy and love and gratitude and peace and generosity, all those heart states, that's where if we put our focus there, that's the most powerful thing we can do. And the more that we envision that and talk about the new paradigm of the heart, the more we mitigate these potential doom and gloom situations. So that's a powerful exercise that we can practice. We spend time talking with your friends or visioning or writing about how you want your future to look, how you want the future of the planet to look. Very powerful. And in fact, I would say we're in a power time right now, and it's a great time to focus on your dreams, to dream big, to really vision out of the box. Like, what do you want to create? What's your intention? Set some very powerful intentions. Think about your creative energy and what you want to manifest in the world. I don't want to forget to talk about this. Before we go further, I just want to be clear that I'm not talking about suppressing or denying or avoiding the shadow side. Some people call it the negative side or the unconscious side, whatever you want to call it, but that's what we call spiritual bypassing. So focusing on the positive does not have to include denying the negative. We need to know about both, but also to be aware of where we're putting our attention most of the time. Where are we putting our energy? What are we feeding? Because wherever we put our energy, that's what we're feeding, and that's what will manifest. So I'm also not talking about trying to convince anybody of anything. That doesn't work. It's almost impossible to talk somebody out of their beliefs nowadays. Have you noticed that? I think we talked about that in one of the recent calls, previous calls. Most people have really made up their minds about what's going on, and they don't want to hear other people's views. So no matter how great you might have, your truth bomb ready, you're most likely not going to be able to convince somebody with a logical argument or a truth bomb. It's just, what's happening in the world right now isn't logical. What's happening is emotional. So the best course of action is not to go those ways. It's to just be you, be an example of what we're talking about today. You can show them who you are. The way it's like, by being the example, you show them that you're disagreeing with their point of view through modeling another way. If you're being a fearless, joyful person, you become like a living embodiment of the new paradigm of the heart. And that's how you can change people's minds. People start to look up to you, and they want to spend time with you, like I said, and they want to be like you if they see you being joyful, if they see you having a fulfilling life, especially if it's a challenging time. I promise you, they're going to want to know your secret. You're going to have a lot of new friends. So, embodying the qualities of the new paradigm of the heart is much more effective than any truth bomb that you can drop on people or any logical argument or anything like that. And I know we often come back to this point on our monthly calls, but it bears repeating. And that is, this is the greatest gift that we can give the world. It's our own spiritual awakening. And when we become that embodiment of love in the world, it's not only a gift to others, but that's when we start to live our soul's highest purpose in the world. We live a life of fulfillment and inspiration and fearlessness and all those higher qualities. It becomes a very big and fulfilling and uplifting life, and we get to share that with others. And again, that's what I said before. That is what brings the joy. The joy is the highest fulfillment of the spiritual path. Okay. So, last topic. Letting go of the need to know and learning to follow the heart. So I think I already mentioned that we're in a power time right now. It's a pivotal moment for Earth and humanity right now, like not just this month, but the coming few years and the last year or two as well. It's sort of like this, there's this pivotal moment in time for all of us, for Earth and humanity. And there's so much happening behind the surface appearance of the world right now. There's an energetic war going on between the dark and the light. And, you know, on the one hand, that's nothing new. You know, the dark and the light have always been dancing in their pairs of opposites. And that's been since the beginning of time. And really, that's partly why we incarnate here on planet Earth, to experience that. We come to experience that dance between the dark and the light. But it's especially visible right now. We can see the dark and the light in high relief more than ever before. And so I think lately it has felt less like a dance and more like a war. So, you know, big changes. There are big changes upon us, and they're going to continue. And we really don't even know most of what's going on behind the scenes. And that's okay. No, I don't think anybody knows what's going on right now. And that's okay. It's actually, this is part what I want to talk to you about. It's okay not to know the details. Just to be aware that we're living in a pivotal time right now energetically, and we're going through this massive shift into a new energy, into a new paradigm, and the acceleration and the intensity are continuing. And when, like, as that's happening, the mind wants to know what's going on. But right now, we can't. We just, it's not there. I mean, we may think we know, and people may talk like they know, but I'm not so sure. I feel one of the most powerful practices we can be doing right now is learning to let go of our minds needing to know and learning to follow the heart and recognizing that it's actually the heart that knows everything anyway, not the mind. I think people in the East, when you say the mind, they point to the heart. So I think there's a wisdom in that. I guess when I look at it energetically, it can feel like we're in a kind of a limbo state right now. But I think really, more than a limbo, it's more like a balance. But we're balancing between a lot of different polarities. Form and formlessness. The known and the unknown. Past and future. You know, all of these polarities that we are balancing. And I guess here's the question for you. How much are you able to embrace this state of not knowing? How much can you hold the tension between the two sides of these polarities that I'm naming? How do you cope with the changes? Are you able to let go of the old forms? These are all good questions to be meditating on right now and just doing a little self-examination. And again, it's not a reason to beat yourself up if you feel like you're not measuring up. That's not what this is about. But to really just do a little self-inquiry and find out where you are. And this leads to the exercise I wanted to share with you today, which is called Grounding on the Core. This is a practice that can help us to hold the tension between those polarities. And in one of our previous spiritual weather reports, we talked about the practice of grounding on the core, but I want to mention it again now because it's such a powerful practice for right now. So this will be a reminder for some of you, but normally we ground on things like, you know, our house and our car and our money and relationships and so on. And we're taught to do that from a very young age. Our parents modeled that for us, and so we learned it. And it's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. This is just a natural human thing to do. It's how we roll in the world. But it's important now to take a closer look at our lives and name the things that we ground on. Make a list of them. Become conscious of all the things you ground on, all the things that help you to feel stable, that help you to keep life predictable, things that you try to hold on to. And it's easiest, let's say, to start with the forms that we ground on, things like we just described, the house, the car, the money, relationship, and so on. And now we need to start listing the things like grounding on what we know or what we think we know, grounding on the known, in other words. So grounding on information. The egoic mind wants to know. The egoic mind is synonymous with control, and that includes needing to know. So it's really helpful to recognize that because we're being bombarded with so much propaganda and so much misinformation that there's actually no way to know what's true anymore. We used to ground on what we were told by the news. If you remember those days, we believed it was true. But that's not really possible anymore. We can't really know what's true, even what the news tells us, maybe especially what the news tells us, I don't know. So the point of this is that we can't even ground on information anymore. And the truth is we don't need to. You know, this is actually one of the gifts of this time, this chaotic time that we're living in. With every challenge comes a gift, and the gift that we're receiving right now is that we can let go of our egoic mind's need to know. The gift is that we're learning to trust what the body and the heart tell us is true. We can feel it. We feel what's right inside us. So even though it may feel challenging, it's a blessing in disguise. We are being forced, in a way, to ground on the core. And, you know, that means grounding on spirit. It means grounding on our intuition, grounding on what the body tells us. Because the body doesn't lie. The heart doesn't lie. And so we're being forced into that. Can you see how that's such a gift? You know, one of the gifts we're being given right now, even though it's challenging, it's a much more natural way of living than we've been taught for all these thousands of years in our Western culture. This system of the last, 6,000 or so years taught us to live in the egoic mind, got us into believing that we are victims, that we're weak and helpless and powerless and so forth. And it's a way of thinking. It's like, you know, we've been programmed into this way of thinking where we believe that we're separate. We believe we're separate from everyone and everything in the world, separate from the natural world. And of course, it's just ridiculous. We all know that that is not true. Quantum physics is proving that. So, just a quick examination of the natural world, you know, and you see that the rest of the natural world doesn't live that way. The way of nature is just to be right here, right now. Not grounding on the past or the future or the need to know or any of that stuff. Nature just is. And so that's what we're returning to. We're returning to those laws of nature. And I would say that's the new paradigm of the heart as well. It's really, you know, it's really simple. It's just being. Simplicity itself, you know, it's not doing, it's not a need to know, it's not projecting into the future or, you know, grounding on the past, grounding on the way things were. You know, it's none of that stuff. It's just about being right here, right now, finding that inner peace, finding that open heart. Anyway, but just a little tangent there. So let's go back to finishing this exercise, this practice. So you do an inventory of these things that you ground on, including the need to know, the need for information, and all of that stuff. And then you make an offering of the list. So what I mean is in a prayer or like a little ceremony of some kind that you design yourself, you just offer it up. You give it all back to spirit and you let it go. And you make a commitment or you just set the intention that you want to ground on the core, that you are grounding on the core or to ground on spirit. Again, it's, you know, it's being here now, essentially, like Ram Dass said somewhere back in the 70s. And just to be clear, I can feel some of you need to hear this, that this doesn't mean that you are necessarily going to lose those things on your list. Very important to recognize. Like, for example, if you put on your list that you ground on your house and you offer it up in the prayer, it does not mean you're going to lose your house. Not at all. That's not what we're talking about. This does not have to be a scary exercise. It just means that we are releasing our attachments to these things. And there's a huge difference between letting go of an attachment to the things on the list versus losing something. When we can let go of an attachment, we're free. You know, when we do this exercise, we recognize that these things on our list are temporary anyway. You know, they come and they go, and no matter how much we try to hold on to them, things change. Life happens. And you know, when we let go of one thing, another thing shows up, and it's a freeing up of our energy. You know, it's a letting go of any sense of neediness, and it's recognizing that we always have what we need. We are always supported by the invisible realms. It's a deep inner knowing of that. And so instead of grounding on things or grounding on what we think we know or what's familiar to us, we're grounding on our trust in spirit. We are knowing that we're always safe and nurtured and okay, no matter what. And that's grounding on the core. That's what this exercise is. So I invite you to that. We can all practice that for the next month until the next call. And I'd love to hear from you. If you do practice it, you know, write to me. Let me know how it's going. courses@corelight.org. So it's almost time now for the question and answer session. We had some great questions this month. And before we go there, I just want to wrap up for today. I think it's important to name a few of the key polarities that we're dealing with right now. And I'll just name three that I came up with. I'm going to read them here. freedom versus being controlled, separation versus connection, fear versus love and joy and inner peace. So we're experiencing the energy of division, the energy of separation. And it's a very low point in human consciousness. And this is part of the dance that we talked about, part of the dance between dark and light. We're at an extreme. And it's important to remember to not get distracted by all the different issues in the world that we're being invited into by our politics and by the media and, you know, and so on. It's really important not to let anything distract us from the main issue. And the main issue is mostly about being able to live this life that we're describing today. It's a life of freedom. It's a life of connection and joy and love and peace and gratitude. And I could go on. Just to keep it simple and to really conclude for today, I would say our role is to be in that state, to be in love and joy and gratitude and so on as much as we possibly can. It's very simple. We find the things that bring us into those states and we focus on those things. And I know that this may sound too simple. I know that some people might be rolling their eyes, but I assure you that this is the highest path right now. You know, a very simple way to practice this. If you can't bring yourself into those states, a very simple way to get there is to do a practice of being creative in any way you can, expressing your love, expressing your joy in some capacity, through some kind of art or song or dance or exercising or enjoying nature or spending time with your pet, whatever it is for you. But each of us has something that can help bring us into joy, and that's what we need to be practicing. It's my favorite aphorism, don't worry, be happy. And I was reminded of what we talked about I think it was about a year ago when we talked about this on one of the calls. So it's a good time to remember what Carl Jung, the famous Swiss psychologist, said during the Cold War when his students asked him if the world was going to be destroyed by nuclear war. And he said, if enough Russians and Americans can hold the tension between the two sides of the polarity, then war would be avoided. And a third option, the transcendent option, would manifest. And that's exactly what happened. The transcendent option was peace. And that's what manifested, because enough people like us, like all of us on this call, we're practicing holding those tensions between the polarities. So practicing neither believing nor disbelieving the information you hear, you know, don't buy into the propaganda. Don't buy into misinformation. It's a very confusing time right now. As I said, nobody really knows what's going on. And anything that might suck you into fear or anything that tells you how you're supposed to feel, or anything that forces you into making decisions that you know are not in your best interest, all of those things are suspect. So remember that we're being invited to feel afraid. We're being invited to divide against each other. And that kind of confusion can cause fear. So the fear and the confusion make people very easily controlled and easy to manipulate. And so practicing, witnessing any of that fear, any of that confusion that might be arising, and to remember that the antidote is to choose love and to practice joy. And it's really that simple. Okay. Questions and answers. So in case you're new, the way this works is that you are invited, we invite you to email us your questions in advance, and you can email them to courses@corelight.org. And if you're on the web call right now, you can type in your questions on the Q&A board, and we'll save those for next month because we've already got a full docket of questions for today. And it's not possible to answer all the questions, but I do read them all, and I get to as many of them as I can, and sometimes I try to group them together. You know, there are themes that come up. So just know that if your question doesn't get answered here, it might get answered next month, or if it doesn't get answered by me, an answer always comes from somewhere. I remember Leslie used to talk about that a lot. If you're asking a question, especially if you're writing in a question, you know, the answer could come to you in a dream or in meditation or from a book or, you know, another teacher or friend, somebody somehow is going to answer your question. So I want to thank all of you who write in. I love when you write in questions. It really helps me to see what's going on, and I appreciate your questions. So thank you. Okay, so first one. This is a summary. Every month we get quite a few questions about this. There's actually an increasing number of questions about the, let's call them the various measures of control that the powers that be are trying to exert on a worldwide population. And I get asked to share a spiritual perspective on this. So I've tried to address a lot of it through the session today in different ways. You know, there's a lot that can be said about it. So I guess I can just reiterate that I think it's really important for us to watch our reactions to all that's going on, and especially to witness the fear that comes up and do whatever we do to transmute fear, you know, whatever practices we have for fear transmuting, and just to let it pass through and not buy into it. And if we get sucked into fear and we get sucked into lower vibratory emotions, let's say, especially if we're in those states in an ongoing way, which are, as I said, our human bodies are not built to do, then we're choosing a challenging path, a more challenging path, because if we do that, we're feeding the manifestation of the very things we fear and worry about. They say that worry is praying for the thing you don't want. So anyway, that's one piece. And I think it's also important to add that rather than fearing all of the propaganda that's being pumped out and fighting against it, it's a lot more empowering to put our attention on building the new paradigm of the heart. You know, doing the things that we know to do that will help manifest the more beautiful world, the more loving world, the more sustainable world that we know is possible. You know, like I said, the old paradigm is busy destroying itself. It's dissolving, and it's going to continue to dissolve. We're watching all of those systems fall apart right before our eyes. You know, we're seeing all the ways that the old system no longer works, all the things that are limiting and controlling and so forth about it. And the measures of control that the powers that be, so-called, you know, I have a friend who calls them the powers that were, but the measures of control that they're trying to enforce on the world, they're coming much more from a place of weakness, from a place of desperation, than they are from a place of power. And, you know, I'm not just making that up. If you think about it, you'll see that it's true. You think about why try to control a population with such intense measures unless you feel like your power is slipping away. You know, you try to control somebody or something only if you feel like you're losing control and you feel your own, you feel that you're powerless. So it's important to recognize that all of these measures, they're coming from a place of weakness, not strength. And it's also important to say, it doesn't mean, I'm not saying that we should just put our heads in the sand and pretend nothing is happening. I'm not saying we should, you know, just roll over and go belly up and be like a doormat. Not saying that at all. Whenever we're in a situation with a perpetrator or a tyrant or whatever you want to call it, it's important to learn to draw boundaries. You know, we learn to stand up and say no when we know something's not right for us. And sometimes we have to practice what we call tough love, you know, and that can look like many different things. But whatever it looks like, it's important to do, and it's also very important to always do it nonviolently. That's most important. So, you know, for some people, it might look like protesting in the streets. And for some people, you know, you might have incarnated to be on the front line, so to speak, in some way. But for other people, it may just be like walking away from a relationship or a job or some situation that you realize isn't respecting you. For other people, it may be about staying in the relationship or staying in the job and just focusing on your own healing within that. So I know some of this might sound scary to some people, and I apologize. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but you know, if this is true for you, then those might not be the right actions for you, and that's okay, you know, because above all, we each need to do what we feel is right for us, whatever that might be. And we know what's right for us. And, you know, this is a great time to be practicing self-inquiry and soul-searching and clearing our patterns and our way of thinking so that we can see what is true for us. What is our truth? When are we acting from fear? When are we acting because we know it's true and right for us? So this is our path right now. You know, it may be that your next step is about processing fear and clearing whatever shadows you might be carrying from your childhood wounding that prevent you from standing up in your truth. And, you know, clearing our patterns around fear and victimization, that's critical right now. You know, we need to do that. And I really believe we're all going to know what our next step is with all of this. So I feel like it's important for all of us that we focus on clearing our consciousness around all of these issues, especially the ones associated with victim tyrant consciousness. And some people call it victim tyrant savior consciousness. Those are just programs that we run. And if we can work on clearing that, that's going to make the biggest difference in how these quote unquote control measures play out in the world. If enough of us clear those patterns within us personally, then what's going to play out collectively will be mitigated. So there's a lot more that could be said about all that, but I think it's probably beyond the scope of our call today. It's a big topic. So let's talk more about that next month if you want to. You can send in more questions about it if you have anything specific or whatever. Just let me know. And as I said before, if the subject interests you, you might want to look for that course that I taught last year that we're planning to offer the recording of. And again, it's called The New Paradigm of the Heart, Transcending Victim-Tyrant Consciousness. And it's hopefully going to be released in 2022. That's the plan. And I thank you for to all of you who wrote those questions in. They're important questions, and I hope this was helpful. So please let me know if you have more questions about that for next time. Okay, second question. I have two children in their early 20s and would appreciate any advice or insight that you may have into how to help guide them through what can seem to be a hopeless situation regarding climate change and political divisiveness. So first of all, it's important to say that it's totally natural for them or for any of us to feel hopeless right now. We're all being invited into that by the media and by politics and so on. And as I already mentioned, we're being encouraged to feel those states of powerlessness and fear and victimization and feeling defeated and, you know, all of those things. And so we can just add hopelessness and meaninglessness and purposelessness into that list. It would be very normal to feel that way. But, and this is, I guess, the key thing to say here, is that it's our choice how we react to these kind of situations in our world. The most empowered and the most helpful reaction that we can have in those kind of situations is to take the position of the witness and observe our reactions, and then remember that we have a choice of what to think and feel. So it's literally about taking responsibility for our thoughts and taking responsibility for our actions and our feelings. And in other words, you know, responsibility, being able to respond. In order to be able to respond, it's really important to be on a path of you know, what you might call self-inquiry or personal empowerment, whatever you want to call it, and to set an intention to move beyond what we're calling victim-tyrant consciousness. That's the biggest issue facing the world today, and we talk about this in these calls a lot. If you could name the number one issue facing the world today, it's transcending victim-tyrant consciousness. So that might be something that you want to share with your children. You can share with them a lot of the things we're talking about on the call today. You know, all of these things help us to transcend victim-tyrant consciousness. And maybe the most important thing that we can tell our children is to remember that you change the world by changing yourself. And that's Corelight's tagline. I know if you've been around a while, you've heard us say that before, but this is the ultimate truth. Change the world by changing yourself. So if your children focus on opening up their hearts and discovering how to choose love over fear, for example, and learning about the power of love and joy, you know, they're going to be making the greatest contribution they can possibly make, because all of their actions are going to arise from that empowered and loving consciousness. It reminds me of that famous Einstein quote where he said, "You can't resolve a problem from the same level of consciousness that created the problem." So our world is in that process of ascending in consciousness into the state that we, you know, we're calling the new paradigm of the heart, because it's from that consciousness of the open heart that we're going to be able to solve so many of these world problems, like you mentioned climate change and politics, and you know, we could add war and poverty and hunger and pollution and mass extinction, and you know, the list is a long one. So remind your children not to get overwhelmed by the task ahead of them. You know, because it's their generation that's going to be taking the leading role on building up a new kind of society. But to remind them that it's going to be a very positive future according to the spiritual guides. It's certainly going to be the most challenging time to get there and to rebuild and all of that. But it's also the most exciting and the most inspiring time of our lives. And that's true not just for the kids. It's true for all of us on this call, all of us alive today. This can be the most rewarding, most inspiring, most enlightening time of our lives. So we all need to remember, I guess, especially the children, that the greatest power in the universe is love. Love's power far exceeds the power of fear or anger or division or control or any of these things that are, you know, the means of control, so to speak. Okay, I hope that helps. Thank you so much for your question. I really appreciated that question. Okay, number three. Excuse me. If this whole thing is play, and I don't want to play, how to come out of it? I thought that was great. If this whole thing is play, and I don't want to play, how to come out of it? So I guess when I meditated on the question, I meditated on you. What came to mind was to offer you a friendly challenge and to maybe reframe your question a little bit. So I would ask a question of your question. My question to you is, why do you want to come out of it? Why do you not want to play? It seems to me that those might be some of the underlying questions maybe behind your question. And I think I know the answer. When I tune into you, I have the sense that, like most of us nowadays, you're feeling, you know, what we might call battle weary. I think a lot of us are just feeling tired. You know, there have just been so many challenges for so long, and we're facing such a mountain of challenges that the system of separation has worn us out at a certain level, especially those of us who've been doing the work for a long time. You know, some of us are pretty tired. So I remember the expression, I forget who said it long ago, somebody said, "Stop the world, I want to get off." Right? I mean, that's the feeling that so many people are having. And so you're not alone, and it's natural, it's understandable, important to say that right off the bat. No judgment about feeling that way. It's a very common situation on the planet right now. So we've already touched a bit on how I would answer your question in the previous question. And I guess when we ask a question like this, it implies that we're feeling some of the things that we've identified. So, you know, we're probably feeling hopeless and purposeless and meaningless and powerless and burnt out and probably afraid and victimized. And, you know, this is a list that can go on, and you can make that list. It's a good list to make and a good list to do the opposites with. And then offer up and let go of. But it would be important, I would say, to tune into yourself and to feel what's going on inside you. You know, making that list might be a great exercise for you, doing the opposites and making an offering up and letting go, all of the opposites. And if for some reason this list that I'm rattling off here doesn't resonate with you, you might need to do a little bit of homework. You might need to dig a little bit to discover some of the deeper issues that are at play here. But see if those things I mentioned resonate for you. Maybe you'll discover some more. The truth of this is that our souls incarnated to focus on these issues, to really feel them, to really go into them and heal them, and ultimately to transmute them and let them go. And so I'm sorry if it might seem like I'm just the bearer of bad news. I apologize, but you know, your soul came in to work with these frequencies, or hey, you know, I could say your soul came in to play with these frequencies. It's important to practice the witnessing and to learn whatever processing methods that you need in order to be able to take your next step on that journey. And I think maybe the part that I'm really here to tell you about is that it can be fun. This can be like play. I speak from experience, you know, with practice, you get to the point where it can feel like a game or like a puzzle. And it becomes a journey. It becomes an exciting journey of exploration and discovery and awakening. And you know, you get good enough at it, good enough at the processing work, that it becomes more like play than like work. And I read your email, and I know from another part of your email that that I didn't read here on the call, that you're reading our book, The Marriage of Spirit. And Leslie and I, we offer a few of our processing methods in that book, so you can see if those work for you. I've found them to be life-transforming, and I know many, many others have. And, you know, they make the work more like play. So especially if you like to play with words and play with opposites, and then you'll see it can be a lot of fun. Many, many people have found them to be incredibly effective for clearing the patterns that keep us stuck in these patterns and these limitations. So I hope that that's also true for you. But if you find out that the marriage of spirit techniques aren't for you, then you just need to find the method that works for you and use it. There's so many methods out there nowadays. So whatever you do, just find some methods for clearing egoic patterns that keep you stuck, you know, and use them. And doing that work, doing the egoic clearing work and meditation, I would say, those are the two most important practices for awakening in my experience. Those are the ones that I have found. I know there are many others, but if you do those two, you'll be well on your way. And what usually happens for people is that you discover at a certain point along your journey, after you've done enough of the clearing work, and you realize that you're having fun. You know, it's like suddenly you realize that what used to seem like work has become play. And you find that at a certain point along the journey, you've changed. You've gone from being driven by fear or maybe other motivations that take the fun out of life, you've gone into becoming driven by love. And once that's the key shift, I think, that's been my experience, and I know it was true for Leslie. She and I talked about it, and I'm sure many of you resonate with this if you've been on the path for a while. But once you make that shift from being motivated by, you know, let's call it being fear-driven, to becoming love-driven, everything changes in your life. So I realize that that's a very, very roundabout way of answering your question, and I'm sure it's not the answer you wanted to hear. But in the end, you discover that the only way to stop the world and get off that treadmill is by facing the part of you that doesn't want to be here, by really getting to know that part of you, and by learning to love that part of you, and heal whatever needs healing there. And I know that that's ironic, isn't it? You know, once you discover the secret of getting off the treadmill, you're so in love with life that you feel less focused on trying to escape, you know? So it's really, it's a great cosmic joke. And, you know, like I said, it's at that point that the work becomes play. So one of the images Leslie used to use is, she would call it, it's like turning into the skid. I don't know if that's just American slang or not, but it's basically like if you're driving along on a road and it's wet and slippery, and the car starts to skid off the road, you know, you could die, the car just sliding off the road. And the way out is to, your spontaneous reaction is to turn the wheel the opposite way of the skid and try to counteract it and go the other way. But if you turn the wheel towards the skid, the car will regain control, and then you can maneuver the car the way you want to go. So that's kind of what's true here. We're talking about turning into the skid. You know, if you are feeling like you don't want to be on the planet anymore, it's really important to look at those parts of you and go on a voyage. Go on a voyage of discovery and find out, get curious. Like, you are here. You actually are here. So why are you here? There is a reason. Your soul is here for a reason. And that's your job, is to discover it. And that's what can be fun and playful and exciting and inspiring. All right. So I hope that helps. And I see, I'm looking at the time, and gosh, it went fast today. I'm realizing we've only got less than 10 minutes left. So I'm going to pause there. Before we do our ending prayer and meditation, I just wanted to let you know, in case you hadn't seen yet, but it was a really exciting month last month. October was exciting. We launched Leslie's Sacred Art Gallery. And if you haven't gone to Core Light's website and clicked, it's on the main menu under Sacred Art. If you click on it, you'll see that we started, we launched Leslie's Sacred Art Gallery, and it includes museum quality greeting cards, a collection of greeting cards, a set of six. Leslie's done, there are six different paintings that we highlight, and the cards are, you know, one of each of the six. And then you can also order the paintings as giclées, which are museum quality reproductions on canvas. And we're super, super excited about it. And I know the giclées cost quite a bit, so that's why we also made the greeting cards. So there's something for everybody. And I just want to also mention that all the a percentage of the proceeds are going to go to our humanitarian arm, Seeds of Light. We support marginalized communities in South Africa, including AIDS orphans. And Leslie started her vision when we started that program was to start an art program for children. The purpose behind it is Leslie has always known that if you teach a child art, you teach the child that it always has something inside, something creative that it can pull out from inside. So creative solutions to life's problems. And this is a really important lesson for the children of this very impoverished community that we serve. So the art program started 20 years ago there, and it's just grown, it's mushroomed. There's hundreds, maybe probably thousands at this point of children in that area who've learned art from our program, some of whom have gone on to become teachers of art. And so we teach teachers now as well as teaching children. And it's a fantastic program, very empowering program. So any money you care to spend on the Sacred Art Gallery on our website at corelight.org, you will be also donating to the children of Acorn Hook, South Africa. So, thank you. Let's take our final 5 minutes to meditate and have a closing prayer. So I invite you now to close your eyes, get comfortable, take a few long, slow, deep breaths. If you're multitasking, it's a good time to just pause. This is just a couple minutes long. Just relaxing, letting go. Let's put our attention on the Shushumna, on the core of light that runs down the center of the body. And let's see it and feel it being bright and luminous, lighting up from within. Feel it filling up your whole body with light, beautiful bright white light. It's the energy of love. It's warm, it's nurturing, and it's filling you up from inside. Feel it and let it penetrate your skin and go out into your aura. Let it fill up your aura. Expand that core of energy all the way out so that you're literally sitting in the core. And extend it all the way down into the earth. And extend it up all the way above your head out into formless space. And just feel how peaceful, how loving this is. This energy of love permeating your body. This light is love, and it is who you are. At your essence, this is who you are. So as you breathe, just feel it. And as you hold this space, I'm just going to say a closing prayer. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are. We call on all the guides who have surrounded us in love and support today. And we give thanks. We give thanks for this opportunity to share our love today, to share in this sacred circle with our worldwide brothers and sisters, the family of light, holding space for the new earth to be born, the new paradigm of the heart to be born. And it's born within us. It is birthing within us. It's happening as we speak. It's not in the future. It's happening right now. So I invite you to feel that in your heart. To feel the love within you. It's like a wellspring, literally. The energy of love is like a wellspring in the center of the chest, inside your chest. It's the energy of love that bubbles up from within you. And it's ever flowing. It doesn't end. So allow it to fill up your chest. Allow it. Feel it like a radiant sun inside your chest. Beautiful, bright ball of golden white light inside your chest, filling you up with love. Let that feed into this tube of light that you're sitting in. And let's expand the tube, this core of light. Let's expand it as wide as the earth so that we're all sharing our core of light with Mother Earth and all her beings. all of the natural world. And we send our love, we send our light to all life on earth. May all life know comfort and peace and joy, including us. So we call that in. That is our birthright. We set that intention now. You might say along with me if you feel like it, and then we'll close for the day. But you can repeat silently or out loud after me if you like. I set my intention to live a life of love and joy and fearlessness. I set my intention to live a life of love and joy and fearlessness. I set my intention to live a life of love and joy and fearlessness. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Alalaho. And I thank you, everybody. Thank you for showing up today, for being part of our circle. And if you're listening in the future, that includes you. I send you my love, and I look forward to the next time we meet in December. Have a wonderful month. Send you all my love.